This is Beyond the Headlines on KUNR. I'm General Manager David Stipik. Every day, people are having difficulties with life and living, with some crisis in their lives. Fortunately, there's a place to call to get a listening ear and some help. I'll be talking today with my guest in the studio, Justine Hernandez, the confidential campus advocate for the Crisis Call Center here in Reno. Justine, welcome to KUNR.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Justine, April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, so we'll want to talk about this in just a few minutes and some of the special activities the center is offering. But first, what is your role with the Crisis Call Center?
So for a long time, I've been the prevention, education, and outreach specialist. And in that role, I was going out into local high schools and doing a curriculum based on prevention of violence, talking about consent, sexual assault awareness, domestic violence, things of that nature, and just doing other awareness activities within the community.
But now you have a new job.
I do, yeah. And I'm really excited about it. So I'll be still grant funded through the Crisis Call Center, but I'll be housed at the university serving students and faculty who have been victimized by violence.
Well, congratulations on the new role. I can tell you're very excited about it, and I know your passion for your work certainly shines through. How long overall have you been working with the Crisis Call Center?
For about 5 years.
For those who may not be familiar, who have a general vague sense of it, what is the Crisis Call Center's purpose? And give a little bit about the history of the center.
Sure. So as the name states, we're a call center for people in crisis. And a crisis can be anything that you deem a big deal in your life. Something might be small for one, but a big deal for another, and we want to hear about that. Our number one call is suicide. Mm-hmm. We run the National Suicide Hotline, so we get lots of phone calls about that, whether someone is just kind of thinking about it or they really have a plan and they're looking for something to kind of keep them here.
And we've talked in the past about just a little bit of history.
Yeah.
Give us that sense.
So the Crisis Call Center started in the 60s here at the University of Nevada, Reno, in a single phone booth. And it was in response to the high suicide rate in our state. And so it would be manning that phone booth and taking these calls from individuals who were struggling within their own life.
And we've been on campus here at KUNR since 63, so really about the same time.
Yeah.
And the work that you do, you mentioned that you also run the National Suicide Prevention Hotline.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that.
So the Lifeline is throughout the country, and there's different parts, rollover call centers, and we're just one of them here on the West Coast. So we never want anyone that's calling that Lifeline to get a dead end. So if they call a local call center and they're not able to get contacted with someone there, the rollover will come to us and we'll be able to help that person in need.
The call center got started back in the 60s because of the high suicide rate in our state. Is that still huge numbers in our area, in our region, state?
Mm-hmm. We've lowered. We were number one for a long time in suicide completion, but we've actually lowered that a lot. And it's to credit how much work that people do in this state to talk about suicide, the prevention of it, and really bring the issue to light rather than keep sweeping it under the carpet.
How does the center work? How many people are involved at the center, taking calls or behind the scenes?
So many, because it's 24/7 every single day of the year. Whether it be a crisis on Christmas at 2 o'clock in the morning, there's someone at the call center to take that call for that person. We know that crisis doesn't sleep, so we don't either, in essence. So there's always someone there manning it. Generally, it's volunteers, the kindest souls in our community. They give up their time to help others, and it's so amazing because as much as they're giving back, you also receive as a volunteer, because when you hang up a call and you say, wow, I changed that person's life, it's huge and it's a blessing for both people involved.
And are there a mix of volunteers and paid staff? Mm-hmm. I know you're a small operation in terms of the core. Like all nonprofits, you have a core of a paid staff and some grant funding and other things. What roles do staff and volunteers play?
So there is a handful of staff members, our executive director, our deputy director, the coordinator for the crisis lines. We also operate sexual assault support services, which provides face-to-face advocacy for all survivors of sexual assault. So we have the coordinator of that operation and then all the advocates within that. So although we are small and paid staff, we are very large in volunteers.
I mean, you have dozens or
60 plus,
okay.
I would say.
Are you always actively taking new volunteers?
Yeah. You know, people have lives and we ask for a year commitment. And after that year, some people decide to move or, pursue something else in their life, and that's wonderful. We wish them the best. And some people stay for a very long time. We're always looking for more people to join our team, though.
So, Justine, you mentioned suicide and those types of things, but this is also Sexual Assault Awareness Month, correct,
yes,
in April?
It is.
And how does that fit into your plans and activities?
That ties in really well with the university and what's going on here on campus. The university is working really hard to combat sexual assault for students that are going here and prevent it from ever happening in the first place. So in order to do so, we have a lot of events planned talking about the issue. And one is a movie screening next Tuesday on the 21st at 7 o'clock. And it's in the Joe Ballrooms. And it's a documentary called The Mask You Live In. And it's about masculinity in America, what that means for young men growing up, and how that actually does contribute to violence.
All right. Very good. That's next Tuesday evening. What's the time?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Yeah. Joe Crowley Student Union Theater. And are there other activities then that tie into Sexual Assault Awareness Month?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And actually, the following day, on the 22nd, is our annual Candlelight Vigil, which is held at the courthouse downtown Reno. And that is to recognize people in our community, professionals that work and assist victims of all crimes. So we actually have an award ceremony and a candlelight ceremony afterwards to recognize all victims of crime. We have a survivor speaker. It's a very, very powerful evening and just kind of reconnecting on why we all do this work and why it's so important to help people in our community. So that's at 5:30 at the courthouse on April 22nd. And anybody is welcome to come to that.
Anything else that our listeners would want to be aware of regarding this month?
The last week of April is we're celebrating Denim Day. And Denim Day is something that the United States does, and even actually it's worldwide. And it's to support victims of sexual assault. And we have a display in the Knowledge Center this year talking about what that means and how to get involved in these things in the future.
This is Beyond the Headlines on KUNR. I'm David Stipik, and I'm talking today with Justine Hernandez, the confidential campus advocate for the Crisis Call Center in Reno. The center handles over 100 contacts each day, totaling more than 40,000 per year. And besides taking the calls of people who want to talk about problems in their lives, the center has other projects and programs. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and the Crisis Call Center has a film on campus Tuesday evening, April 21st, a gathering at the courthouse on Wednesday the 22nd, and is taking part in Denim Day on April 29th. Justine, your numbers indicate the center assisted over 200 sexual assault victims this past year, and there's another related project, so go ahead and tell me about that.
I'm also doing Green Dot, which is a bystander prevention program here on the university, and we have a couple Green Dot trainings to encourage students to be active bystanders rather than passive. When they do see violent acts potentially happening, they'll safely intervene to help people that they know. They get the information, they're able to recognize these violent acts before they even happen, and then safely intervene to help others around us. It's really influential for college students who are potentially at a bar situation or at a party situation where something could occur like a sexual assault. So they recognize these behaviors and these patterns. They are cued into it and they do something about it rather than just letting it happen.
And is this something that you're personally involved with?
Yes, I'm a Green Dot facilitator.
All right. And is that also part of the Crisis Call Center or one of the other hats?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's also goes hand in hand with that.
Yeah.
So what's the significance of the term Green Dot?
So there's two different types of dots. There's a red dot and a green dot. And the red dot is these individual moments of time of violence. It's a push, it's a slap, it's name calling, it's hurtful words, it's an assault, it's domestic violence, it's bullying, it's hazing, all those different things. And if you imagine like the map of America and several dots come up, it's kind of like that virus that spreads we've seen in those movies so many times. We see that violence covering our communities, our country, and things like that. And the green dot is when someone sees this violence potentially happening and they do something about it. So they cover up that violence with something good and something positive. So instead of having a map covered with violence, we have a map covered in green dots, which is safety, healthy, and people feeling like they're taken care of.
And Justine, we're talking about the scope of work that you do as well as the impact you have on the community in suicide prevention. And you said any type of crisis, that can mean different things to different people.
We're constantly taking these calls. And we not only have this call line, but we have a texting service. So people can text us as well with their crisis or issues. And that's really popular with our youth.
I bet that is. How long has the texting been available?
A few years now. We were the first in the nation to launch a 24/7 texting hotline.
Very good. Well, congratulations. Let's talk about the type of calls that you receive. Suicide prevention is big on the list. But what other kinds of things do people call about?
Really anything. It could be someone experiencing domestic violence. It could be someone who's recently had an assault against them. It could be drug and alcohol issues, mental illness, depression, loss of finances. That was really big when the market crashed and people were losing their homes or their jobs and they just felt insecure in where their life was going to go. And that's an extreme hardship if someone has a family and they don't know where they're going to get the next paycheck for their food is. So we can not only talk about the emotional stability, but also give them resources. So we operate Nevada 211 as well, which is kind of like 411, but just for the state. So you can call 211, you just dial it on your phone or go to the website, and it's a list of free or very low amount of money services for our whole state.
And what kind of services are provided through that?
Food, shelter, okay. Electricity, lawyers, really anything that you're looking for, like in a human service field, it will be available there.
The economy. You saw people in crisis economically and discouraged and hopeless as houses were being lost, jobs were going away. As the economy in Reno and Nevada, this section of Nevada has improved, has that changed your calls?
Yeah, people still are feeling vulnerable and not sure what's going to happen next. So it's not as high as it was just for that necessarily, but there's still we still have calls coming in, and it ranges from each person and what they're going through.
Is loneliness a factor?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's a very common feeling that people have, but it's hard to talk about a lot of times, and you might not know who in your life you can talk to, or you might have opened up to somebody and they shut you down or made you feel silly for having those feelings. So sometimes it's nice to have someone that you can just call, never see in your life, let it all out, and then hang up the phone. You know, our volunteers, the people taking the calls, they're not therapists. They're just people that care. And we don't give advice. We just listen. And sometimes that's all somebody needs is instead of wagging the finger and saying, you should try this, we're just like, oh, I understand where you're coming from.
So what does it take to be a call center volunteer? What's the emotional makeup or the skill set?
If anyone in your life has ever said, you're such a good listener, or I always come to you for things, or thanks for always being there, then you already have everything pretty much. We will give that person all the training and the skills that they need to successfully and competently take all these calls so they feel comfortable in themselves. But it doesn't take a degree. It doesn't take any previous experience. It just takes a really caring, empathetic attitude.
And what kind of commitment is, you said a one-year commitment, but how many hours a week or what's required?
Generally, we do 4 hours a week for the call center volunteers. Everything is negotiable and can be worked around, absolutely. If they're interested in becoming an advocate, we ask for 3 12-hour shifts a month, and that's just an on-call basis. So you don't have to report anywhere, but you just be available by phone.
And on the emotional basis, assuming the calls are sometimes intense and difficult and you're trying to reach out to someone, how do staff and volunteers deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, it can be heavy, and you might be taking a phone call or see a client that really relates to you, or you might see a family member in them or in their story. And in those cases, the volunteers and staff always know that we can go to each other. We're kind of a big family, and I remember when I was first going to volunteer there 5 years ago, and I was telling my mom about it, and her first reaction was, "That sounds so sad." And I was a little nervous when she brought that up. But once I got there, it's amazing how happy and full of life. It's not like a dreary basement room where this stuff is happening. It's a beautiful facility, and we're all caring and kind. And if you have a hard call, then you just talk to somebody about it, and there's no shame in that. Self-care is super important to us, so we're always checking in and trying to process these things in a healthy way.
Now, you mentioned that some people may see the crisis, well, that's not big enough to call. I'm not at that point. But you said really anything that's a concern is an okay thing to call about. If someone's out there listening right now, saying, you know, I'm bummed out about this, or I'm really lonely, or this doesn't seem like a big crisis for anybody else but me, but I really would like to talk to somebody, is that a call that they should make to you?
Absolutely. If there's anything just kind of weighing on you and you just need to let it out, you can feel it in your gut or in your throat, and it's something you just can't shake from your head, maybe it's just time to open up a little bit and see if that helps with the process. And we're never going to say, oh, this isn't big enough, so, you know, don't call us again. We're going to say, that sounds like a big deal, and we'll work through you on whatever level you're at that moment and see how we can help the best.
And you mentioned a couple of things. There's compassion, obviously, in this, but it's you don't have the baggage of a relationship that you're sharing mm-hmm. with somebody. This is really just a listening person there just for you as the caller.
Yeah, it's just a sounding board. You know, people in our lives, although we might feel really comfortable talking to them, they have a bias and they might have a preconceived notion about us or things that we've gone through or bring up things from our past. And we don't do any of that because we can't. We don't know you from anybody else. And so we're just listening in the here and in the now. And trying to figure out what's going to be best in the future for you and not for us because it has nothing to do with us.
So if someone's listening right now and wanted to make a call, how do you do that in terms of the call center number?
Yeah, so you can call any time of the day. Our phone number is 775-784-8090. So to text, you would just text the word answer, A-N-S-W-E-R, to the number 839-863.
And if someone wants to just get more information in general, maybe they have a family member or a friend who they'd like to refer, you know, some information to, the website is what?
CrisisCallCenter.org. And all the information on how to volunteer, the applications there, brochures, all the different services that we offer, and our contact information is all on there as well.
Before I let you go, I can tell this is a passion of yours and that it's rewarding for you. Yeah. Would you say that's true?
Oh my gosh, yes. It is. It's changed my life. It's made me see through a different lens, and it's as much as I've given back, I've received way more. So it is a passion. It's something I very much enjoy doing, and I love supporting this community as much as possible.
All right. Well, thanks again for what you do. I'm General Manager David Stipik. This is Beyond the Headlines on KUNR, and today in the studio, my guest has been Justine Hernandez, the Crisis Call Center here in Reno, and your new title again?
A confidential victim advocate for the University of Nevada, Reno.
All the best in your new position. Glad you're still with the organization and doing
yes.
the great work out there. And thanks so much for coming in and talking about the program today.
Thank you so much for having me.